Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You want your Burke Show in one full show every day, uninterrupted, and dang it, you don't want ads. No problem. Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burke Show.
Cassie, I feel like the world's been throwing you some punches lately.
It has been. I've been taking a beating, but the way I like to look at it is, all of this is happening now, maybe to save something bigger for down the line from happening. Like, it's karma. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not karma. Yeah. It's, what is it, like yin and yang balance. So I broke my ankle on a playground, simply stepping off a step, you know, like you do. And then
You gotta change your story, Cass.
Yeah, I know. So Chatter Engineer said I should tell people I got into an MMA fight with Ronda Rousey.
I like that.
Yeah, that works better. And then I tripped yesterday over the good foot and then put my hand through a pane of glass. So that was fun. So I'm going to replace the garage door. So that's exciting, getting a new garage door out of it. It's from the 80s. Gosh. But yeah, it's been a little rough, but you know, it's nothing I can't handle. Yeah. Please don't take that as a challenge.
don't put that out into the universe. So this tomorrow, I'm supposed to come over to your house and babysit your two adorable children so you and your husband, Chad, can have a date night for the first time in how long?
Almost 4 years.
Wow.
Since my daughter was born. And it was a really sweet, generous offer of you when you found out we hadn't been on a date night because we just don't have family nearby. Mm-hmm. And
I feel your pain, girl.
Yeah, and all my other friends who I trust with my kids are also mothers, and so I don't want to pull them away from their kids. And it's a lot, and it's just, I don't feel comfortable with somebody I don't know watching my kid yet for a babysitter. I know I'll probably have to get over that. So we just haven't been on a date night, and you were so generous and so sweet and offered to come over and watch them so Chad and I could escape for a couple hours.
Now with your recent injury and, you know, going headfirst into a plane, you know, plate of glass, I want to make sure that you guys are, you're doing this because I feel like you need a date night more than ever right now.
We do need a date night because it's Chad's birthday this weekend. So it was going to be our chance to get out, and I feel so bad because I had a whole fishing trip planned to North Georgia for him for his birthday. We had to cancel because I can't walk and I'm not making the man carry the suitcases and the kids and everything on his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yay, happy birthday. I broke my ankle. Now you have to do all of the household work. I would say, honestly, we're at 50-50.
Okay.
We both really want to do it.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Both really exhausted.
Uh-huh.
I and in a lot of pain.
Well, see, so that's what I was thinking. I was like, when your foot is as jacked up as it is and how difficult it is just to get to point A to point B. And now imagine having two young kids that you have to run after and take care of. I can only imagine how exhausted you are at the end of the day.
I'm tired, and I just feel for Chad because he had knee surgery a couple of years ago, so he's not in top shape either with his joints, and he's the one running around lifting them up, and I'm trying to lift them, and he's like, put it down. And so he's being very careful of me, which is sweet, but he is also exhausted. But that's also the reason why we need to escape for a little while. So I will I'll let you know today.
No, you can, even if you wanted to let me know an hour before the date tomorrow, okay. I have not slighted anything else. I feel so bad because I know you guys have been looking forward to this. And after 4 years, it's like, why the heck all this stuff like piling up right before like big weekends? It never fails. Like the timing is always like the worst.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And I guess I want to sit back and say it's just life, because I could sit here and be like, woe is me. Oh, just woe is me. And it's life, and life throws you curveballs sometimes. And I think because of our weird position where we're not, like, I never understood my friends who wanted to get married and move by family. And I'm like, I love my family, but there's a whole world out there. Like, let's get out of our hometown. Let's go explore and, like, move and put down roots elsewhere. And now that I have kids, I'm like, oh, it makes so much sense. And I had kids way earlier. And I'm like, oh, my God, having grandma nearby to pick up the slack for an evening. You just, it's those things you take. I don't say for granted, but you just don't even think about. So when it's just the two of you, it's not like it's unmanageable. It's not like we're drowning or anything like that. It's just very different when you don't have the built-in support system of family. And then every day I genuinely think of like single mothers or single fathers and how they're coping and working full time. And I just bow down. Like, I no idea how they do that. And single moms who date, I can't even go on a date with my husband in 3 years.
Four years.
Almost four. I don't know how they do it. And so, like, I'm really grateful for friends like you, Kristen, who will step in and be like, I got you. Like, go do your thing. But it's a lot. Like, you have kids and you're like, we got this. And then you're in the thick of it and you're like, oh my God, no take backs.
Yeah, I just have the one. And so I bow down to those that have multiples. But my brother lives like 10 minutes from my mom. So granny can watch the grandkids like whenever, however long. They have overnight, sleeps. They have sleepovers at granny and Papa Bill's. And I was like, oh, that sounds so glorious.
it's like, if you don't have kids, it's very hard, I think, to put yourself in that position.
Sure.
But the only thing I can think of is, like, imagine, like, if you've ever had a dog or your cat, Della, Abby, and they're just always on you. Like, they're always yanking at you, climbing on you, clawing at you. They always need something. They're always hungry. They're always thirsty. They always want to do something. And then you're injured and down for the count or whatever, and there's no one who can help you. But you also love these little beings so much, so you don't mind it. But at the end of the day, you're touched out, you're stressed out, you're exhausted, and you're like, please just go to sleep. So the thought of an overnight, which is weird, because you're like, I saw a meme that says, I love you, but please go to sleep. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
The Burt Show.
All right, he's getting married, but she is convinced that he still wants her, not his future bride. She's like, yep, my ex is still in love with me, has no business getting married. So if you ever have a dilemma or you need some advice, please go to theburtshow.com and shoot us an email. 9 times out of 10, there is a Burt Show family member out there that has been through the exact same thing that you have. Abby's got this email.
My ex-boyfriend is about to make a huge mistake. He's about to marry a girl that he's not in love with, and I know this because he's still in love with me. Jacob and I broke up a little over a year ago. He met Hannah shortly after our breakup. Within 8 months, they were engaged. Not long ago, he reached out to me. It started on Facebook Messenger and then moved to text messages. He asked me to meet up for drinks one night, and I agreed. We had a great night and one too many drinks. We may have made out a little bit before going our separate ways. We've had constant contact since then. He has professed he still has feelings for me. He cares for Hannah, but doesn't know if she's the marrying type. If he's the marrying type. I still care for him, but I'm struggling with what to do. He keeps promising to break off the engagement, but here we are, and he's still very much engaged. I don't want to be the one to blow this up. I don't want to let him go. I don't know how I can continue doing this. I do have feelings for Jacob. I do feel bad for Hannah. I do want to say I do someday, but that's not possible if Jacob isn't, quote, the marrying type. I want to believe Jacob and I have something special. With every day that passes that he's still engaged, my belief gets smaller and smaller.
I feel like this is a drug that she's addicted to, and she needs to, like, just break the habit. Like, you need to cut off all communication with this dude. I just don't know how she's going to do that with how she feels about him.
Yeah, she's got to let this go. I mean, it's easier said than done, obviously. And she may be right in what she's saying, but she also may be wrong. I mean, some of it feels assumed. And if the man is going to get married, he's going to get married. I really don't think there's much you can do about that at the end of the day, even if he is not the marrying type or even if he is not supposed to marry her. It's going to happen. And I think if it's not meant to be, then it'll find its way not being. But that's not for her to do.
Here's what really frustrates me about men. And so I'm going to put this on Jacob specifically. They say and do contradictory things, because here he is telling this girl he's not the marrying type, but he is full on engaged to somebody else. So what is he really trying to say here? Like, you're not missing out on anything because I'm not the marrying type, but yet you're still like, what does that say about your relationship with your fiance? Like, is it you're okay with getting married to her, even though you're not the quote unquote marrying type. So honestly, homegirl, like, I think you've dodged a bullet. This man sounds like he cannot make up his mind.
And I'm a firm believer in, like, how people treat others is how they're going to treat you. Mm. So the way he's treating Hannah, like, could very well, that could be your future if you stick it out. I'm not saying that like 100%, but there's a distinct possibility.
And I can't speak for all men, but I do know sometime as a man, you may not want to be married or be the quote unquote marrying type, but you don't want to lose the lady you're with, and she wants to be married. So you losing her is like, you'll get married just so you don't have to lose her.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that's what he's doing, but I do know that that happens.
Well, makes you, if I'm her, if I hear something like that, then that opens up a whole other portal of insecurities of like, okay, well, what is it about Hannah that he was so willing to, if he's not the marrying type, he's willing to put a ring on it just for her to stick around. I think that also like doubles down on the fact that like you two just were not meant to be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Mo, you sent me an email about a roller coaster ride that got stuck upside down for hours. And I have the story pulled up here, but you got stuck on a roller coaster ride?
I did. I got stuck on a ride called, I don't remember which amusement park it was, but I remember it's called the Superman. So it was not the greatest roller coaster to be stuck on because you're literally in Superman position.
Like you're flying through the air.
Like you're flying through the air. So your hands are out, your feet are kicked up, and you're literally laying down in the air. And of all of the rides in the world, I got stuck on that ride for what was probably only about 15 minutes, but it felt like hours.
So the oscillating fireball was sliding down from its vertical loop at the Forest County Festival in Crandon, Wisconsin, when it stopped unexpectedly because of mechanical failure. And then they were upside down for hours. Hours.
I can't imagine hours.
No. And so when you sent that, you were like, yeah, I got stuck on a roller coaster. And I'm like, how have we not heard this story?
I thought I did tell this one before. I haven't.
Maybe you have, and I just have forgotten about it. But
and the worst feeling is the harness that's like holding you. If you're stuck either upside down or laying down and you're not in a seated position, like you can't help but have that mental fear of like, what if this thing just unlocks? And it just, and you're like, you have that the entire time that you're stuck because you're literally looking at the ground and you're just stuck and you're waiting to move. And it's a horrible feeling. And like I said, 15 minutes was long. I can't imagine hours at all.
And then upside down with all that blood rushing to your head.
Yeah, you pass out?
I thought you'd die if that happens.
It says the complexity of the operation meant that the first of the passengers was not safely back on the ground until 2 hours after the ride had gotten stuck. It took another hour and 40 minutes for all remaining passengers to be rescued.
God.
Do you get something for that? Because y'all not going to just offer me cotton candy and tell me to have a good day.
I don't know what they got. And no, it doesn't have anything here as far as like how they compensated those who were upside down for seriously almost 3 hours.
That is scary.
You better be getting season passes out of that. I'm never going back there again. Yeah. At least pay for my therapy bill.
There you go.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This might be the only actor in Hollywood who isn't for going on strike. Or maybe he's just the only honest one. So actors and writers are still currently on strike. They want to be paid more and get paid fair residuals for their work on streaming services. So this actor named Stephen Amell, he's not a fan of this strike. He's currently on a show called Heels on Stars. And a fan asked him about how he felt about everyone going on strike. And he said, you know, I support my union and I stand with them, but I don't support it. I think it's a reductive negotiating tactic. And I find the entire thing incredibly frustrating. And I think that the thinking that as it pertains to shows like the show that I'm on that premiered last night, I think it's myopic, which is a big word for basically like you're not really thinking ahead. I had to Google that because I was like, I don't know what that means. But basically, this guy was at Comic-Con, and something that I didn't know about the strike was you're not allowed to promote your own, you're not allowed to do TV promotion or movie promotion for like all the projects that you worked on. So he's basically saying like, you know, it's incredibly frustrating. I just spent, you know, 9 months mm-hmm. however, working on this show. I can't even really promote it. So I wonder if he's really just the only one who feels confident enough in his standing as an actor to just say, I don't think we should be doing this. Because I have wondered, like, there's got to be some actors who would just rather be working, period.
Oh, I'm sure there are other people who feel the same way he does, especially those that have, because you work on something and then so many months passes because of production and editing and et cetera, and then it finally airs and now here you are and you can't promote the show that you work so hard on. And, you know, actors are artists and that's their art and they're very passionate about it. I have no doubt there's other people who feel the way he does, that a strike isn't the right way to go and it's not going to accomplish what we want to accomplish, but it has accomplished things in the past. So I do feel like this one is going insanely long, though.
It is. It feels like it's been going on forever. I feel like we've been talking about it like at least once a week for the past, like, I don't know, ever since I started here. My Uber actually over the weekend was an actor, and he was telling me that he was actually going to be in this huge role, and he was so excited to be a part of it. And then all of a sudden the strike happened, and, you know, this guy isn't like a household name or anything. And I can't help but think, but like, oh, do you feel like maybe that could have been your big breakthrough?
That and sucks.
You know, you feel like it's just like right in the palm of your hand, and then all this goes on. And I feel for everybody on both sides. Like, you want to get paid fairly, but at the same time, I know there are some people who are really feeling like they've missed out on some big opportunities. Okay, so search and rescue teams were busy at a Drake concert looking for the woman that threw her 36G bra at Drake.
I thought somebody else, I thought somebody went missing at a Drake concert.
Nope, just her bra. So Drake was shook when a woman, I mean, people have been throwing bras on his stage for like the past couple of nights, and there was one woman who threw a 36G bra on stage, and this man was just flabbergasted. He was like, locate this woman immediately.
He's thinking his ABCs.
She must be found. And she actually slid into his DMs, and apparently they've been chit-chatting.
I feel like he's going to get so many more bras now ever since the first woman who did it got signed by Playboy.
He can open his own Victoria's Secret. Oh, Drake's Secret.
Drake's Secret. The Drake's secret is out. Uh-huh. It's no longer Victoria's.
This does feel like a very weird remix of Cinderella. Like, we must find who fits the 36.
Find every maiden in the land. I don't think when Cinderella was running down the stairs, her bra fell off instead of her shoe, but that would have made for a very interesting story. But I like the yes. I can totally see that.
Be a darker remix. Maybe that's on a different website, though. Okay, Taylor Swift. Oh, it pays to work for her right now. She just gave massive bonuses to her crew. She gave bonuses that total over $55 million.
Holy crap.
Whoa.
So the news first broke. ET learned that Taylor gave bonuses to 50 of her production truck drivers. Apparently, these were bonuses of $100,000. And what was so sweet is I was scrolling on Twitter, and I guess one of the kids of one of these truck drivers tweeted out that, like, their dad said, you know, I couldn't pay for college before for you now, but look what we can do now. So I'm like so excited. T-Swift is just out here crushing it.
That's amazing.
And it is on track to be one of the highest grossing tours of all time. It's set to be like $1 billion.
And I think she realizes that, and those truck drivers are so integral in getting her stage from one stadium to the next. And somebody did a video panning all of the trucks that it takes to move Taylor's show, and it's insanity.
Dang.
So it was a well-deserved bonus, but, you know, extra because it's Tay-Tay.
It's Tay-Tay.
Bye.
Some of Lizzo's former dancers are suing her. I'll tell you about the shocking allegations on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Let The Burt Show fam help clear your wish list.
Teachers, get all your classroom needs fulfilled right now. Burt Show, clear my wish list.
All right, first we have a big thank you from Becky Dollins. If you remember, after 23 years as an elementary school teacher, she's going to be an elementary school librarian. And Randall Elementary in Independence, Missouri, their library needed a lot of help.
Hey, all the Burt Show listeners out there. This is Becky Dollins, and I'm a first-time librarian at Randall Elementary School in Independence, Missouri. I just want to thank the Burt Show for featuring my classroom Amazon wish list, and also thank all of you listeners out there for any purchases or support you will give to my classroom through the wish list. My students will be so excited to get the new resources, and I am just so thankful for your support. Have a great day.
Now, there's still a handful of books on there if you want to support their library at Randall Elementary in Independence, Missouri. All right, today's teacher that we are going to spotlight is Cynthia Greer, and she's been teaching for 21 years. And she teaches high school science at not one, but two schools.
Wow.
So during the day, she's a teacher at North Hall High School in Gainesville. And at night, for night school, she's a teacher at Mountain Education Charter School, also in Gainesville.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Greer. I'm a high school science teacher. I teach not only at North Hall High School, Go Trojans, in Gainesville, Georgia, but I also teach at Mountain Education, which is a charter school for kids that don't just fit the normal high school realms. And I am in Base Camp, which is a classroom for kids that are underneath the age of 16. So I have not one, but two classrooms to decorate. I love my job. I love what I do. I want to create environments that are positive and outgoing for kids, a safe space for students. Thanks so much for your time.
She's got two classrooms, and this is the smallest list that we've received thus far. There's only 21 items on this
list.
It's
not a ton, but I can tell she's a great teacher because she wants to purchase a big box of Sour Patch Kids for her kiddos.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You get to a high schooler's heart through their stomach.
Exactly.
Absolutely. All right, so if you would love to help out any of our teachers, especially Cynthia Greer, who we are highlighting today, just go to theburtshow.com. You'll see the link, and that way you have all the links to their wish list, and you can give them a little leg up as they start the 2023 school year. Again, that's theburtshow.com. So, Romeo, you had an epic weekend, did you not?
I did. I sure did. It was the most amazing weekend, I would say, full of memories. And I came here a few weeks back and I was kind of complaining about my brother buying tickets to this one soccer game. And because we spent almost $900. So I was just like, why did you not run this through me? And so I was really upset. And after this weekend, I can come here and say that I would do it again.
Yeah.
I would spend those $900 again because it was just something I felt like my brother and I like needed. And it was amazing just to be there. And I think it's because we grew up watching these two teams, and these are teams from Europe. So, you know, based on my legal status in this country, like I have to get permission from immigration in order for me to even leave the country, right? And so for me, like the idea of watching these two teams play.
And the two teams are
Barcelona and Real Madrid. So they're from Spain. And these are like the biggest rivalry in soccer, basically. And just the idea of watching them for me was just far-fetched. You know, like, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So the fact that they were coming to the United States to play, it was just a once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity. So I was just like, let's do it. And I felt like my brother and I honestly wanted to remember when was the last time that I had hugged my brother. And I can tell you guys that I got three hugs from my brother.
Three hugs.
And it was just like, there's nothing more amazing than I think when your team scores and you get this excitement, this rush, this energy.
It's a great feeling.
It's an incredible feeling where like the person next to you just like becomes your friend and you start hugging them. And so when our team actually ended up winning the match 3-0, which I think I think it would have been a different scenario. I would have been more upset if they had lost. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I would have been.
Well, we're not going to think about that scenario because exactly. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. So, but yes, they scored three times, and those three times was this rush of excitement. And it was just like, oh my God, they scored. And we would hug. And it was just like, oh, I was just like, I just hugged my brother.
Okay. So the relationship you and your brother had leading into this trip, like, how would you describe it?
It's, I guess it's distant.
Okay.
I would say it's very distant. Like we talk, we talk about sports, we talk about shoes.
But does he live at home as well?
Yes.
So you both live at home, but you still consider your relationship distant.
We just have a different, like our schedules are so different as well. Like I feel like I barely see him.
There's gotcha.
There goes weeks where I don't see my brother.
Really?
Even though like he's literally in the room next door.
Wow. So it's emotional and physical distance.
Yeah, literally.
Okay.
So yeah. And then so it was interesting because like as the third goal happened, and I hugged my brother, like that's when it clicked. I was like, I don't remember the last time like me and my brother had ever really shared like a hug like that. It was just like, It was nice. It was like cool. And then I remember like, oh, it took me out. And I've shared with you guys before, like when I have these experiences that I'm enjoying so much. And then I start thinking about my parents and like all the sacrifices that they do. And I think a lot of times my parents have prioritize for good reason other financial stuff first rather than take vacations for us or like go on trips or do some like things like this where they create memories. And I couldn't help but just to think about my dad and like how much like my dad loves this team. Like the reason my brother and I love this team, Barcelona, so much is because of my dad. And so it was just one of those things where like it took me out for a quick second. I wouldn't say for a while, but
you have survivor skill.
Yes, I really do. And yeah. So it was just one of those things where like I fully enjoyed it, but at the same time it was like I 100% don't feel present in this moment right now because I wish my dad was here to enjoy it. And I don't know. I wish I could hug my dad. I feel like I have some daddy issues. Like, I don't remember the last time I hugged my dad either. So it's just my dad is very like standoffish and like very to himself.
What would he do if you just went home today and you're like, Dad, I love you, and just gave him a hug out of nowhere, like for no reason?
I think he might have a heart attack.
No, I think he would love that.
I think you should do it.
Yeah, I mean, what's holding you back from doing that?
I don't know. I feel weird doing it. Genuinely, it's just like it's not in our comfort zone to be like, especially with my dad. It's like with my mom, it's different. It's a different story. Like my mom is such a sweetheart, but with my dad, it's just like I don't remember, like, genuinely, like, I don't know, just even, like, the thought of it doing it, it's weird.
Yeah.
So even when y'all, like, approach each other, like, when you see him for the first time in a while, like, me and my dad don't hug, per se, but we'll embrace each other with, like, a five and, like, a half, like, a manly hug. Like, I don't even do that.
No.
Really?
No. You know what? I think the last time I actually got, like, half a hug was around Christmas time. But I say literally half a hug. It was kind of like a sideways kind of hug. And that was it. But, like, I don't remember the last time I fully, like, embraced my dad. Maybe.
I mean, I don't want to force you to do anything you want to do because that's not the point here. But if that hug from your brother made you feel the way you do and having that, like, connection with family, just maybe think about at some point, just again, not for his birthday, not for Father's Day, just an out of the blue, hey, Dad, I really appreciate everything you and Mom did and everything you and Mom sacrificed. And I love you, man. And just.
KK, you got to pay for his therapy session if his dad rejected. His dad just push him off.
That's literally what I was thinking.
Get off me.
Why are you touching me?
What are you doing?
Like, okay, buddy.
I will just stew on it, okay?
I will.
The Burt Show.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
I believe Mark Twain said that.
I know somebody with really long hair. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So now for 8 years, Abby has been on dating apps and really not enjoying it at all. In fact, she told us 2 weeks ago or a week ago that she's never, ever, ever looked forward to a second date.
Literally never.
Something's going wrong.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm blaming the apps, but really it's just me. Yeah, it all started with like this existential crisis I had after seeing the Barbie movie. Because I was, as all crises do.
Blame it on Barbie.
Barbie. I was watching the movie and I was just kind of like, wow, everything in Barbie land is everything that I sort of like I'm sort of like living out and claiming to want out of life. But like deep down, like I'm spending a lot of time and a lot of mental energy, like looking for somebody to share that with. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to go on a little hiatus. And I think a big part of my dating life has been going on the apps and almost sort of using them as like social media and as a way to be productive in my dating life. Because again, you have a goal. How do you reach that goal? You find a man, you go out on a date. And for me, dating apps has been the easiest way to do that. So now they're gone.
It almost seems to me like it's, I'm not sure the word I'm looking for because I'm a little out of it this morning. I woke up late. It almost seems to counter like, I hate to use the word science because science seems to be such a bad word these days. But like the human body and mind to be rejected every day when you're on these dating apps and then the dopamine spike of somebody finally hitting you and then getting all excited about it and then the bummer of coming down, it just feels like it could really play on your mental health also.
I don't feel like it's a big place for rejection. I think just because of the way dating apps are set up, it's sort of to minimize rejection, which is why I think a lot of people like them because you sort of go on and you swipe right and you swipe left and typically you don't really know who's rejecting you unless you've matched with them. So that can be really hurtful, but that's just a part of dating. It's not necessarily something that's app specific. So for me, like it's exciting, but it's also kind of was like a way for me to feel like I was in control of something that I feel very out of control of. And I'm going to let go.
So after you, because you on air deleted your dating apps, of course, except for Hinge, which he's only keeping so we can still do Unhinged because it's so entertaining listening to these guys and they're like horrendous voice prompts.
There was a whole gasp around the city when you did that. I heard it.
We all had a moment of silence for Abby's dating apps.
R.I.P. Bumble.
So over like the past 48, 72 hours, whenever you did it, like, I'm sure because after 8 years, that's just like an instinct to like grab your phone and to immediately pull up your apps and see like who has been matching, et cetera. So I'm sure that's had to be like a weird change in like your daily habits.
Yeah. Can I be honest? It's such a relief.
Is
like
it?
I feel, yeah. honestly feel like this weird weight has been lifted off me because it's one less thing that I have to look at on my phone. Mm-hmm. Hinge is still there, so it doesn't really quite feel like they're totally gone. But I think I've been thinking about it for so long that I've sort of already kind of mentally detached from the idea of going on the app. So even when they were on my phone like a week ago, I wasn't going on them as much because I was kind of like, well, I'm going to get rid of them anyway. I'm not really getting the results that I want. So why am I going to click on that?
Mm-hmm.
So I've sort of been mentally just putting it out of my mind long enough to where it just feels nice that they're gone.
It's going to be interesting to see when you check the amount of pickups you have on your phone now since this also, because you're not looking at it all the time, and to see your screen time go down also, and the time that it'll free up for you, I wonder.
Well, I think that's just going to be... I think I'm just probably going to spend more time on Instagram and other things. My screen time, I probably should just fix, period. But
we all should.
What I have found very interesting, though, in the last like 72 hours or however long I've just kind of been mentally keeping it out of my mind, I feel like men have just been crawling out of the woodwork.
Isn't that weird?
It's so weird. Like, I feel like the moment I deleted them, there was like a Batman call throughout our city, because the amount of like people I've dated previously who texted me, the amount of like DMs that I've gotten. I had a matchmaker reach out to me, and it's just kind of like the universe is like, just kidding, you still need to date. And I'm like, leave me alone.
People go hard when they don't think you're accessible anymore.
No, so I'm turning off the bat signal. I was like, I want to be by myself at least for a week.
Isn't that funny how that phenomenon happens though? Like when you just like, you know what, I'm resolved to this, then all of a sudden all this opportunity comes right in front of you, if you want it or not.
I know, I don't want it. I want to be alone in my apartment with my cat.
Your DM's about to go crazy now.
Yeah, right?
I know. This is all my plan.
Your stock went way up this morning when you said that.
It's
way
a whole
up.
Reverse psychology, man.
Yes.
The Burt Show.
All right, so we need to get Trisha here some help. Trisha's on the phone right now, and she hit us with an email a couple of days ago, which stunned us, because the reservoir of forgiveness that she has is something I certainly don't have, because her husband screwed around with her best friend, and she thinks it might be happening again. Hey, Trisha.
Hi.
Hey. All right, so give us the timeline here. How long were they having the affair? The definition of you and your best friend, how shocking it must have been. How did you heal from that? And you finally forgave him, and here we are again, though.
I know. And I know a lot of people will judge me for forgetting, but it's my best friend and my husband, who obviously I love them both so much. And, you know, there were just circumstances that, I don't know, I just felt like I should give them another chance. So this was about a year ago. Both of them were going through a lot of stuff. Well, meanwhile, I was having like good things happen in my life, like a promotion. And I think they just kind of like went to each other to get comfort. They were both going through things in their personal life. And I think they just kind of like sought comfort in each other. I was so busy and not really giving my husband enough attention. And, I don't know. The whole thing was really confusing and painful. And I decided to forgive. You know, he was my best friend and my husband. Like, they're like two of the most important people to me. And I know I'm important to them too. And I know it's really messy and that they messed up. But they promised me it wasn't going to happen again. And it was just a huge mistake. And I don't know, here I am again. And I don't know if it's just paranoia because of what's happened in the past, or if there's really something going on. And I feel like I just need you guys to help me with that, because I either really need to completely get over this and heal and stop with the paranoia and always seeing what's happening again, or I need to really finally walk away, you know, if this is continuing.
Well, regardless of what the outcome is, and I know what's happened in the past, and you have forgave, and you have moved on, and you're not going to get any judgment from anybody here because we don't know what was going on behind closed doors. You have all the information as to your circumstances.
Yeah, the judging doesn't happen when we're on the air. It's when you hang up. And when the mics are off, that's when we really go at it.
But, Trisha, I want to remind you that while... You know, yeah, sometimes two people can play a part in infidelity, but just because you are focused on other things doesn't give your husband and best friend the right to have relations. I want you to remember that. Like, I don't want you to be like, well, this was my fault because I was, like, neglective. I mean, that's... I just want you to know your self-worth and not put yourself... in the position of taking on the blame of somebody else's behavior.
Right. I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. I really do.
Okay.
And I know it's bad, but my husband and best friend really are good people. Like, they made a mistake, and everyone makes mistakes, but
yep.
Like, this doesn't define them, you know, what happened. So I just want to move on, and mm-hmm. I feel like this could help me. Yeah, just really, really put it behind me.
All right, so let's talk about what's been going on now that's got your instincts all like, okay, spidey sense here, something's not right.
You know, there's no concrete signs, just kind of a gut feeling. I don't know, like the way they interact, I feel like they communicate more than they need to, and I just want to trust them again, and I can't.
And you have felt this way for how long? And you and your best friend have been friends for how long as well?
Oh, God, like 12 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have felt this spidey sense going off now for how long?
I would say about 3 or 4 months. Okay. I mean, I never completely got over it, but I've been feeling like, yeah, I don't know. It's been this past 3 or 4 months where... I'm just getting worried again.
All right. Well, let's try to alleviate that stress, at least with this test that we did, or find out if your gut is right here. What's a catch, a cheat, or war of the roses? You want to explain, Kristen?
Mm-hmm. We sent a fake promotional email to the email address Trisha provided that belongs to her husband. He was offered a free bouquet of flowers, able to choose from several options with pictures. In exchange, he's asked to share some promo codes for a percentage off a future order, and he was able to choose from the following choices. Aloe, Govna. Aloe vera symbolizes beauty, healing, and protection. It's the perfect gift of care for someone else. That's a new one, and that one is quite clever. My best bud. 2 dozen yellow roses and a cheerfully sunny way to tell is a cheerfully sunny way to tell your friend they are on your mind. Bloom for improvement. It's best to admit when you're wrong or have made a mistake. This bouquet of blue hyacinths are the perfect flower to say I'm sorry. That's the flower of love. Red
Come
roses.
On, Kristen.
What?
You gotta sing it.
Oh, no, I'm not gonna do. That's a flower of love.
Huey Lewis?
Yes.
I got that right? Yeah? Okay.
Is that Huey Lewis?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Back to the future.
Red roses are the ultimate sign of passion and love. Express it all with 2 dozen of these long-stemmed red beauties. The first promotional email was sent at 10:17 a.m. He didn't waste a whole lot of time. He ordered flowers at 11:52 a.m. He selected My Best Bud, which is 2 dozen yellow roses, and they are going to be sent to Tori. And that is not Trisha's real name. So, Trisha, is Tori the best friend?
Yeah.
So he sent them to be delivered to a school. School name has been removed for privacy. And the note on the card says, hoping your year is off to a great start in his name.
Okay. Clearly we have some infractions here. Big time infractions. Doesn't mean that they're still having an affair or anything like that. But it doesn't look good.
If your husband gets an opportunity to send flowers to somebody, to anybody, he should send them to you, not the woman he cheated on you with.
Has their friendship...
I mean, period.
I mean, I feel like that should just be a universal law.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Has their friendship developed into like a best friendship more so now than you and hers? Or is this just like concrete proof?
I mean, they, you know, they are friends. We're together a lot. I mean, I don't know. She is just going back to start the school year, so the timing of it, you know, kind of makes sense that he's given this opportunity. She's just going back. I mean,
Don't make excuses here. Under no circumstances.
Zero.
Like Kristen said, when you get roses, do you think of somebody else? So while you're trying to be sweet, I feel like you're making some excuses here also that, oh, he's just being nice. She is starting back. So it's nice for him to send flowers, especially in the vulnerable position that your relationship is in right now. He should have taken those flowers immediately and should have sent them to you.
Yes, he should have sent you the flowers and perhaps nominated her for our Clear My Wish List. I think that would have been the fair assessment of the situation.
We need to clear a few things off her wish list.
Yeah. So, Trisha, you got some really difficult decisions to make here.
I'm sorry.
Again, this isn't concrete proof. It doesn't look good.
I mean, it doesn't, but it'd look a lot worse if it was the red ones. You know, like, he could have sent those, so.
He could have.
I don't know.
He needs to be sending you all the flowers in the world.
Yeah, you need to have a really hard talk with yourself and see what's going on here, because I can see how you're talking yourself out of this. But all of this circumstantial evidence lines up pretty strong. So use some common sense, and if you have another friend that you can talk to that can clearly give you advice about it, then go for it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
See ya. Nobody wants to face that.
Nobody.
You want to put that off and put that off and put that off because you kind of think like, well, if you make all these excuses, you won't have to take the next step. I can understand that.
But there it is.
Yeah.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Lizzo is being sued by a few of her former dancers. Fans were shocked by this yesterday because Lizzo is known for body positivity, spreading love. She's very politically active on Twitter and passionate about her beliefs. So when fans heard what she was accused of, I mean, man, social media was blowing up yesterday. So let's get into it. So three dancers are accusing her of harassment and hostile work environment. Two of the plaintiffs actually began performing with Lizzo after competing on her show, Watch Out for the Big Girls. This was a big body positive reality TV show looking for women to perform with Lizzo on her dance crew. And so while it's only three dancers coming forward, a lot of the people not involved in the lawsuit are actually coming out and being like, yep, totally agree with all this.
So what, like, specifically as far as harassment goes, are they accusing her of?
So the suit alleges that Lizzo and the dance captain, Shirlene Quigley, created an environment that included sexual and religious harassment, weight shaming, and more. So in regards to the sexual harassment, a lot of the allegations include a specific incident where Lizzo had invited employees to touch nude performers and handle some adult toys and other props used in the performance. And a couple of these dancers didn't want to, had expressed that they didn't want to, and were repeatedly said, do it. And they felt like, okay, well, if we don't do this, we feel like there's going to be some kind of consequences here. So they reluctantly began doing it, and they didn't feel great about that. They're also claiming some weight shaming was going on, which I think was one of the biggest shocks for people, because Lizzo has actually her own brand of body positive like shapewear and activewear. It's called Yitty, and it's really cute. So when the allegations were coming out, apparently Lizzo said to one of the dancers and gave her the impression that she had to explain why she had gained weight and disclose a lot of intimate personal details about her life to keep her job. And actually, this specific dancer was diagnosed with a binge eating disorder. So it's just really, really icky. There were some things about religious shaming in regards to the dance captain. I guess she's like very devoutly Christian, was shaming anybody that was talking about like having the sex outside of marriage, and just a lot of like not great stuff.
Yeah, I think we live in this time now when people make accusations and you just automatically assume they're true. Mm-hmm. So let's let 24 or 48 hours go here. And I wonder if this is going to end up being like an Ellen type situation where it was the people around Lizzo, only because she's built up so much credibility in this area, right? It almost seems nah, this can't be.
It's shocking to hear.
I wonder if it's management or people around her and she had no idea about it.
It is shocking because she presented herself as such a safe space, but she does have some lyrics that kind of they don't favor her because she specifically said that I had to let some women go and force them to sign some NDAs so they wouldn't have loose lips and now they're trying to sue me and I really don't care. So she kind of addressed it, at least so it appears she did.
And I heard someone give a full-on breakdown of the lawsuit. It's like 37 pages. There are some very specific examples in there. So I think there's some stuff like allegedly you felt like you had to go out with Lizzo after a show and party on the town or else you weren't favored and your job might be in jeopardy. So there are things like that, which I think can go to like he said, she said, mm-hmm. Nobody made you go out. But I also understand there are workplaces that can feel like that. But then there are other incidents listed that are very, very specific and detailed to something the dance captain said, the dance captain used to say. Different incidences. There's one involving a banana, like just hyper specific that make you feel like, okay, there is something off here. Like something, either it's her team or there's something that's just not quite right.
Well, Lizzo has never been one to hold back publicly. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure she'll have a response to it sometime today.
Unless her lawyers have anything to say about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Gwyneth Paltrow, she's renting out her guest house on Airbnb for a night. I don't know if I would want to stay at her guest house because I can only imagine what it smells like. Because of those candles that supposedly smell like her lady bits. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just me or was this completely tone deaf? I don't know if I'm reading into it, but all I see online is people being like, I can't pay rent. Rent is way too high. Like, it's impossible. Like, my job salary doesn't cover my cost of living bare minimum. And then Gwyneth Paltrow's like, here's my bonus house. It sits unoccupied because it's a guest house. It's nicer than most of your real houses. Come stay with a night. We'll have a chef's dinner. It just seems like very Marie Antoinette.
I think she's catering to the 1%. That's for sure.
Well, no, it's Airbnb's. It's their, because she's partnering with Airbnb to do this. And it's so people can experience getting away. And
experience the lifestyle of what it's like to be able to afford a house.
And then go back to your miserable life.
Pretty much.
Can you pay extra not to hang out with her too?
See, that's how I felt. I'm like, I was about to say, of all the celebs I would want to hang out with, I don't know that she would be at the top of the list. I'd be like, can Kate Hudson come over instead?
You've got cool friends. Are there any other options besides you, Gwyneth?
I know you're buddy-buddy with Robert Downey Jr. Maybe he can pop up.
I'd pay extra for that.
You can now be laid to rest in your own Barbie dream house. I'll fill you in on the morbid details on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Must be super frustrating when you know you're kicking ass at work, right? But the boss takes a look at you, doesn't take you seriously, overlooks you every time there's a promotion. Now you're starting to think, okay, is it just because I'm a young woman? We got one Burt Show listener here that hits us with an email the other day, and she says she got a couple of things, quote unquote, working against her here. She's a young woman, and she's a military spouse, which I didn't even know was a problem in the workplace until she brought it up in this email.
Hi, Burt Show. I am a huge fan and have been listening to your show ever since I moved. I listen to you guys on my way to my night shift. Speaking of which, I need advice about my job. To give a little insight, I work in the media industry just like you guys. I am young and also married to my husband who serves in the military. I have been fortunate to get a job while being a military spouse. Statistically, military spouses have a harder time finding a job because of the military lifestyle. It's been hard navigating my job, being married to someone in the military, and figuring out myself.
Why is that? Because you have to you have to tell them that you're a military spouse and you might be moving, and I can't even tell you when that's going to happen. I got it.
I sometimes feel like my boss overlooks my work and what I do because I am a young woman and a military spouse. I also notice that men get more recognition in the industry and some with no experience and double-checking my own work. I've been doing my job for a while now, too. I also feel like men are allowed to voice their concerns and even get upset about it at work. But anytime a woman does, it's overlooked because of the stereotype that women are more emotional than men. I feel like I am just seen as a young military spouse instead of a person doing their job. How do I combat this issue? I love what I do, but with the Barbie movie now out and listening to you guys every day, I am kind of questioning my job and our society. Any advice?
This damn Barbie movie.
this Barbie movie.
Movie has really shaken it up.
It's causing so many awakenings.
I don't know what to do in a case like this. I know some of you hardliners out there are like, just get another job. That's not so easy, right? So what do you do in a case like this?
No, she doesn't need to get another job. But I think this points out exactly what women are talking about when they, you know, use the word the patriarchy, because everyone hears patriarchy and they're like, woke. What it comes down to cases like this, where if you are a young woman, let's say like you're 23 and your boss is a man, they naturally just connect with the other men in the office. So they tend to get opportunities that you don't, because, you know, they're having like water cooler talk in the break room. And so I think she's just kind of feeling like that unspoken social difference where, you know, they might be stereotyping her as like an emotional woman if she comes with a complaint, whereas they're not going to if they have like a more friendly relationship with their male coworkers.
Yeah, if the male coworker comes in there and he's in a bad mood, the boss would be like, oh, what'd your wife do to piss you off today? It's always on the woman, right? But a woman isn't in a great mood, then it's a totally different angle on it.
Here's the thing. I think as women, especially young women, it's not really taught. It's almost an unspoken rule that you don't toot your own horn. Like, you're humble. You let yourself be noticed. You let your work speak for itself. And I don't think that works. And I also don't think, I think I've met tons of humble guys who don't have insane egos. But I've also noticed that even the humble guys are good at self-promotion, but they do it in a way that doesn't feel gross or in your face. Women don't tend to do that. So I think my advice is, it's an uphill battle. You're going to be like Sisyphus. You're going to keep rolling that boulder up and it's going to roll back down on you. But things you can do are start to promote yourself. Keep track of metrics. Are you bringing in X number of dollars? Mm-hmm. Have you done this many sales? And so when you have a huge goal like that, instead of being like, cool, I did the company good, send that email to your supervisor and be like, hey, just want to let you know we met quota, we exceeded quota, whatever it is, and start a paper trail for yourself and start touting your own accomplishments. And there's a way to do this and still be humble and not egotistical about it, but it's going to start you believing in yourself, but you're going to be start seeing as more confident and more as a valuable player, even though you're doing the exact same work as you were before. You got to let people know.
And Cassie raises a really, really, really great point. It is not egotistical for you to come in with statistics showing how valuable you are to the company. Is that how women feel? Like, it'll feel arrogant for me to say that?
That's how I felt.
Really?
And I don't want to speak for all women, but I always felt like I was hired to do a job and I'm going to excel at it and I'm going to do a great job and that's what's expected. That's just part and parcel. But then I would see people being like, look at what I did. Look at my accolades. Look what I accomplished. And they were the ones at my old job who were getting promoted or noticed. And I think at that point I realized, okay, no one is going to do this for me. And my supervisor is not going to sit down and go through my work and be like, oh, you're amazing, promotion. I have to do it for me. But it's uncomfortable if you're not used to doing it.
So it doesn't sound like she's miserable. She's frustrated. So I would be like, if you're miserable, you need to start seeking and looking for a job elsewhere. Unfortunately, having a conversation with your boss or bringing this to the table, I don't think is going to get you anywhere. It is actually going to cause you to take a couple steps back. She works in the media industry, and there's a game you got to play. So you got to figure out how to work the system, because the system is stacked up against you when you're a woman in a primarily male-dominated industry.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Whole bunch of you guys, sleepyheads, say, I don't want to go back to school. You have to today. whole bunch of schools starting today.
Well, for the schools and the counties and the cities we're about to name off, yes, hopefully you're up and you're at them, because today is your first day back to school. So Bremen City Schools, Buford City Schools, Clark County, Clayton County, Coweta County, Douglas County, Gwinnett County, Harrelson County, Henry County, Marietta City Schools, Oconee County, Putnam County, Social Circle City Schools, and Walton County Schools. All y'all going back today.
Eliza's starting the third grade today in Buford City School, so I know she's listening right now. So good morning. Have a great day. She's so excited. She met her teacher the other day. She's all excited, but she's excited about everything.
Uh-huh. Wait till she gets to middle school and then high school. That might change.
Yeah, right. It's good right now, though.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you guys heard this, and I've been in Atlanta now for over 20 years, and I have heard from time to time people say that Lake Lanier is haunted.
It is.
So I didn't really know the reason why up until a couple of days ago. I just assumed, here's what I did know about Lake Lanier. Have you been out there since you've moved here, Abby?
I haven't made it out there.
Okay.
But now it sounds like I shouldn't.
Nope.
So Lake Lanier is essentially water over a city. I mean, there's a whole city down there.
That's true.
Our building. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a race course down there. There are buildings down there. And it's very dangerous. The debris can be so thick in those waters there that a lot of people end up losing their lives and drowning in that area, right? I thought that's where the legend started. It's haunted because they filled up a city with water, right? So a couple of days ago, I'm not sure if you guys heard this in the news, but there was a 24-year-old on Lake Lanier that jumped out of his boat or off of the dock.
Off a dock, yeah.
Off a dock and got electrocuted while he was in the water.
How does that happen?
Yeah, how does that happen?
So I'm not really sure, but I know that there was somebody around the dock at Lake Lanier that saw it all happen, went over to him, tried to give him like pull him out of the water with a ladder. Dude was still screaming. Guy jumps in the water to help this dude out. He starts to feel this shock also. He's like, something's not right here. He goes back to the dock, turns all the electricity off, and then jumps back in the water to help this guy, and it was too late at that point.
Oh, wow. God.
So I started to read the news story, and then I started to read all the comments from people going, why are people still jumping in this lake? It's been haunted for the longest time. And I'm like, haunted? So I did a quick search on it, and sure enough, now I understand why they say that.
Yeah, and there are reports, too, because I was fascinated by this, and I did a deep dive like a couple of years ago, and the reports of some people who are strong swimmers drowning, feeling like they were being grabbed and pulled under. So, because you look at that and you're like, okay, it's haunted. People are drunk. They're out on the lake. Of course, accidents happen. You're not paying attention. You're not wearing a life jacket. But then when you start reading the reports, it's like, this person was a really, really strong swimmer. They were sober. They felt like someone grabbed them and pulled them down.
So here is the history of it being haunted that I only found out a couple of days ago because I started piecemealing together a couple of articles. All right, so I'll read from a bunch of these articles that I've all put together in one, right? So there's a community underneath Lake Lanier called Oscarville. There used to be a town called Oscarville. The community of Oscarville was destroyed in an angry racist mob, and it's now the subject of two films that are coming out or have already come out. So Lake Lanier is a Georgia landmark, and now I'm reading directly from it. But before it became part of the state's landscape, there was a town called Oscarville. It was formed in the late 1800s during the Reconstruction era. And Oscarville was a thriving black community full of carpenters and blacksmiths and bricklayers. Farming was the top trade there. This was a town that was bustling, man. It was kicking ass. So then there was a case in 1912. So May Crow, she's 19 years old. She was a white woman. She was found dead in the woods near Oscarville, presumably after a lot of things happened to her before. I don't want to get too graphic, before she was killed. So typically back in those days, we know how history goes, that the answer to white girls being harmed was to go into these black communities and just start blaming black people, right? So nightfall comes in Oscarville. Terror begins all over the town. Mobs come together. They're called night riders at the time, and they drove the black community out. And they were wakened up in a lot of cases by fires outside. There were fire bombs down in the church. The church was the centerfold of the community. So anything and anytime anything happened, everybody would go to the church, right? Like, we're safe in here, safe in here. And these night riders went in there and burned the churches down, threw Molotov cocktails in there, killed a whole bunch of different people. And after the destruction in the late 1950s, according to these articles, the Buford Dam was built and Lake Lanier was formed, covering up Oscarville and swallowing up most of its history. So many people died during that attack trying to get to Gainesville. So as of Lake Lanier right now, a whole bunch of people believe it's haunted because of the really high number of drownings that occur there. Officials have said there's an entire town, which I was just telling you guys about, that includes structures, forest areas, trees that are like 60 feet tall, and it makes it way more challenging to navigate through that water. They said someone can quickly become trapped in the debris, causing them to drown. So you got that, and you got this crazy-ass haunted
haunted story here. And that's why people are always like, why are you even going to Lake Lanier? I had no idea about any of that.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't know about it. And you've
gone. That's like one of your favorite places to go.
I have never had a problem there, but I'm probably not diving in it.
I'll be honest with you here.
I ain't messing with it. You actually got in the water, too, when you've gone?
Every time, yeah.
Really?
Without a problem.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of people who go to Lake Lanier and have a good time and are safe. But there's also, you know, you get the stories of, like, the 24-year-old who was electrocuted. And there seems to be more stories than your typical lake.
Okay.
But on average, like, the percentage of people who go and have a great time without incident is way higher than the tragedies that happen.
Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. But it's haunted nonetheless.
I'll take your word for it.
Wear a life jacket. All right, on a lighter note, or so, Georgia woman charged with faking her pregnancy to get paid time.
Not much lighter.
Not at all. Yes, a woman named Robin Folsom is actually facing 3 counts of making false statements and 1 count of identity fraud in court because she actually faked a pregnancy in order to get 7 weeks of time paid off. And apparently it's not even her first time doing it. She got away with it with the same company the first time she did it. And then right after, she faked another pregnancy. And I guess this time they started to pay a little more attention to it because, really?
How can you get away with that?
I don't know how she got away with it the first time. But the second time, I guess her coworkers started paying a little more attention to her baby bump. And a few people thought it was a little inconsistent. Like it was just too big one day and it was small. So that was kind of the first thing that led to them actually looking into it. And she went as far as actually sending pictures of the baby, like after the baby was born, and people realized that there were inconsistencies in the different pictures, like the skin tone of the baby would change. So they started like doing an investigation, actually sent it in, and the police couldn't believe it. They were like, they've never heard of anything like that. So they thought it was fake, but it turned out to be real. And she literally faked the entire pregnancy, went as far as having a guy call in claiming to be the father and requesting more time off. So when they did digging to see if this guy was real, they couldn't find him, which is why she got the 1 count of identity fraud. And now she is in court and she is facing over $100,000 in fines and up to 25 years in prison.
Oh, no, no, no.
She wanted 7 weeks off.
Yes, yes, yes.
And she about to get 25 years off.
You need time for mental health? You're going to get it.
Oh, you're going to get a lot of time.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.